journey in Germany, I was sitting around fantasizing about some sort of event that might bring together ethnic musicians and some of the rock people that had begun picking up, or less polite word, stealing from this music. Back to England, I made a couple of inquiries around the area in which I live and realized that I wasn't going to get it together at all, and began chatting with Thomas here about the possibility of trying to make it work. And he had an organization which was producing a fairly unusual magazine which was issued with a record called the Bristol Recorder, and a few of us got together and began vague meetings, just seeing if there's a possibility of making an event happen. The whole thing now has become a very wide platform, and there's a kids' day with 5,000 kids in masks, with musical
instruments. But that wasn't in your mind originally, I don't suppose.
No. This is something, you know, which has really taken on an identity since it was sort of developed.
Thomas Brumman, festival organiser.
We formed a company which is non-profit making in its constitution and limited by guarantee. And in terms of the administration and personnel, yes, we have had to respond to the commercial world. We originally started with a fairly loose ad hoc committee kind of structure, but we find especially the rock and roll world didn't really seem to respect that. They wanted
a hard commercial.
Yes.
Yeah, people are very sceptical in the rock business of anything with any hint of altruism or idealism. Right. And unless it actually smacks and reeks of money, it tends to be sneered at. And I mean, there are various rules which protect our fingers from getting at the till,
right.
But the way that we've been able to raise the finance, because there is a huge shortfall between the amount to be earned from tickets,
right,
and the cost of putting it on, is through the rock industry. And a lot of musicians have been giving tracks for free for benefit album, so part of the finance has come from sale of a record. I should say the musicians have not been cynical. I think they've been incredibly supportive.
Yeah.
It's the business and to some extent it's justified. You know, you see it all the time as an artist. You're always getting approached to do benefits for this, that, or the other, and there are always unhappy people going away who expect that musicians have a debt to be paid and paid and paid, but on the other hand, when there is something that seems to resonate with musicians, and this we've been very lucky has, then people will throw in, and a lot of people have sort of written tracks for for this record. On the western end, there's XTC, The Beat, Pete Townsend, Peter Hamill.
Very nice names.
Yeah, despite the fact again that record companies sneered at it when it was first presented, I think it will be a very
Who's
strong
going to be
album.
Releasing it now?
Warner Brothers. On my track, I was working with an amazing Indian violinist called Shankar. There's no relation to Ravi, although I think
that has
his
been
sister has married into Ravi's family. But violin has never been one of my favourite instruments, but the way he uses it, it's incredibly emotive and sweet-sounding in places. But the sequence of events was First of all, this cassette which I'd heard, which I can't remember where I got it from, but that had a nice rhythm to me, unusual rhythm. Then I got the group of Comey to start working around that. And then we, Stuart Cooper and Shankar, guitarist David Rhodes and myself, began working around that sort of nugget.